Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is April 6th. We're almost done with our first week, 2017. It's Thursday. We're on Dream Theme Thursday already. This week went by so fast, and I have a feeling they're going to go by even faster in the next 3 weeks. Those of you who signed up for the summit should be getting your packets early next week, and it's on. I can't wait to see everybody. It is just so cool. So I can't wait. I just want you to know I was aware of the fact that by next month this time, we will be on the last day of the summit. If you can imagine, I always think like that, okay, like, because now it's almost like it's already happening. So I'm so excited about it. And thank you for those of you who signed up and we get to see. And for those of you who couldn't or didn't or couldn't get out from work or logistics, we are having the entire thing filmed. So I don't know how we're going to edit it and break it down, but we're going to do something for it, something really good that, you know, nobody really gets left out, but we do want to do it. It's gonna be amazing to do it live. So it'll be the first time, and I can't believe it. Talk about dreams. So today I have a lot of dreams, and on top of that, I think Marco sent one last week, and I couldn't find it, and it happened before. So if you could send it again after a week, my inbox is ridiculous. After 2 days, it's ridiculous. And for some reason, since my birthday in March, that last week in March, I can't keep up. I don't know what happened, but I just need three of me. So I'm trying to get back to everyone. And I did go through everything, Marco. I couldn't find it. So if you could resend it, I would appreciate it. So I have three dreams here. First one is from Chris, and he always has these one-liner dreams. He never gives the details. And he said, I dreamed someone was pointing a gun at me, and Vice shouted, ouch, as if in pain. And a voice shouted, ouch, as if in pain. And that, at first I was thinking, okay, that's not enough of a dream, but I just wanted to make a point on it, was that when you dream somebody's pointing a gun at you, and yet you're in pain, think about what you're doing in your life, because usually it's something you feel you're not doing right, something you personally feel you're not doing right, and you're talking about pain before you even know what it is you don't think you've done right. So you're walking around thinking that you're either hurting people or hurting yourself, and you're not really taking care of others or taking care of yourself. And it's very painful for you. So keep that one in mind. I don't remember if I dreamed just about having a gun pointed at me, but I do remember like people trying to get you, and I always wonder what is it that I feel like happened that somebody has to try to get me. But in this, it's you doing it to yourself. You know, ask yourself about your situation in life, how you feel about other people's feelings about you, because that's where you're getting caught up. Because why would somebody want to do that and you feel like people aren't happy with you? And then I had another dream. This one is from Susan Alderman, and it was, I think, on the radio page on Facebook, and she said, last night I dreamt about me traveling. I got an airplane ticket and a bus ticket, and I was ready to go. A friend took me to the train station, and I went into shock. Everything was under construction. There was no way for me to access the station. Then the friend who took me to the railway station, who appeared to be my father or a father figure, led me to a tunnel, which looked like a subway tunnel, but it went down much further into a dark, narrow catacombs. He kept asking me to trust him, but I was starting to distrust because I felt awkward and lost my sense of direction. Then, out of the dark direction in which we were headed, a dog appeared and passed us by. The dog looked so pitiful, blind, starved to the bone, and haunted with no sense of self, dirty and its hair messy. It once was a strong dog. One could still see. It looked like a mix of a Great Dane and a Doberman. What shocked me was its blindness. Instantly, I turned around and started to climbing up a ladder, which suddenly appeared but was always there beside me. As I started climbing up, I saw white light. The ladder seemed to merge with the light and became one. And I was climbing like crazy, running up the ladder with ease. My hands were so strong, it felt like they could never get tired. I felt so good climbing up the light when I heard my friend, the father, calling me to turn back and take the tunnel through the catacombs. I just thought, what a crazy idea. Why would I want to do that? My dream finished with me climbing into the light. I woke up happy and shocked at the same time. It was a big dream. Thank you for reading. This dream is telling you a lot. Finding the white light at the end is the least of it because it's telling you you found your way out. Where you've been is what you are releasing in this time. You know how you have an attic and it's the highest part of the house and the least visited, or you have a basement and it's the lowest part of the house or the least visited, because everything in it is storage, and all of that stuff is things you think you'll use again, but once you put it up there, it either has, a sentimental value to it, or you think you'll use it again, you don't want to keep it in your face, you put it up there, you literally forget you have it. And a lot of people forget they have it, and they go back and buy the same thing again, not remembering where they put what it was they were looking for. So what's happening to you is you went in just by pure accident. You didn't walk up to the attic. The attic kind of found you. It's like residue that you have inside of you. The blind dog that looked pitiful is like you looking at yourself if you had not taken action to leave. That people who stayed behind are okay because it's their choice, but you never had that choice. So what you were seeing were remnants of things that you were getting rid of, and what you would be like had you not gotten rid of them. That's why it was so dark. It was, even though someone was with you, you didn't feel safe. What you did see, the blindness of the dog, was you no longer being blind yourself to what's around you. Because we are that way when we get out of situations, and that's telling you that whatever was in you, you have left behind. You no longer need that. Isn't that amazing? You really felt like you were blind before, and you left that blindness. You left those question marks behind, and you found your way out of it. And the man you were following, which was a father figure, was how much you trusted the people around you in your past. It doesn't mean that they were bad people. It just means that you yourself found a way to trust people, and that was all you needed. And then as you grew up and found your own voice, you outgrew the people around you. It doesn't mean anybody was good or bad. It doesn't mean that whatever anyone did for you, with you, around you, it was their best. You just changed. You grew. And instead of using other people's voices to make decisions, to live, to be around, you have transferred yourself from there, grew yourself from there, allowed yourself to find your voice, and now you're living in your voice. And that white light that you found is actually the bigness of your voice. It looks like, you know, those, the way you described it in your dream, that stairway to heaven, and it walks and then it fades into the light, and you weren't tired. You weren't tired being yourself. What made you tired was you believing you needed to listen to other people for you to do what you wanted to do in your life. It's an amazing feeling. We are born and we automatically trust. We don't know not to trust. We automatically trust mom. We automatically trust dad. If we have brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes they'll hit us. And, you know, like little brothers and sisters, I remember one of my cousins, when he had a new brother, he wanted to clean the brother, and he thought you do that with powder. So he went and got the thing of powder, and he started putting it on his face to clean his face. And he almost choked his little brother, and, you know, with the powder. And he just didn't know, but his intentions were good. Thank God somebody found him. But the baby just lays there. They don't know any better. They don't know that they can fight back yet or they can do anything about it. They're just there. So everything we do, when we were babies like that, we took in all that energy. That's why we look like, talk like, feel like, say the same things, do the same things. When we get older and we say, wow, my mom used to do her cabinets like that. Now I'm doing my cabinets like that. That's okay. But that's why we have no defenses yet. And your defenses kicked in so late in life that you were conscious of it. And then you had to act on it. And you did climb out of what you felt like became darkness. It wasn't darkness all along. It only became darkness because you no longer fit. It's like your foot grew out of the shoes you were wearing, and now you needed a bigger shoe. And to see the dog blind and tired and bony and hungry and messy, but you knew it was a strong dog before. It's because you refound your strength. You now can see. And you said goodbye to old you. And you made a decision and you found a way out. And the best part of this dream is the fact that that ladder was always there. You just found a way to climb up that ladder. And you realize it wasn't even hard to do. You weren't even tired doing it. And that's exactly how you left your life and found this new way for you to live, which was the way you dreamed you could live. So that was telling you a lot. But it's also one more thing. Francis writes a question in the chat. Did she give herself permission to climb the ladder? She just turned around and saw it and left. She followed her instinct. It sounded like she didn't. She just said it seemed to, let's see, now she was, okay. And I started climbing up. I saw a white light. The ladder seemed to merge with the light and became one. As I was climbing like crazy, running up that very ladder with ease, my hands were strong. No, she just saw an opportunity and took it. She didn't even get to going through permission. But in the past, she didn't even know the ladder was there. And in this dream, she realized it was always there. She just took it as an escape. Even though the people around her, the dog, the man didn't try to pull her back. She was there thinking that she couldn't leave, and then she realized she can. And it started way back before you even had a relationship with anybody outside of your family. It started inside of your family with your parents and you feeling like, and they probably weren't as stern as you might remember them, but it may feel like they were so much bigger than you that you just didn't want to argue with anyone. Whatever you saw, whatever you felt, you know, you kind of started to say it and they'd be like, oh no, don't think that. Oh no, don't do that. Oh no, you're going to do this. Oh, we want, you know, our daughter to be successful, whatever. And then you met somebody and you transferred their stuff onto the other person. And then one day you graduated. That's really what happened. And I would be happy waking up after that dream because I'd probably feel 100 pounds lighter by then. I see Liam wrote in the chat as well, if reading out my dream, no need to read the side notes, just the dream if you feel it's better. So, Liam, you sent me the dream. Okay, good. That's a good thing to know. Hold on and let me find it, because I had another dream from Princess Leia that was also on. And hold on 1 second. We'll do this. I love when there are side notes, by the way, on dreams, because it gives me such an insight. And there's something about crazy dreams, you know, where you dream and you wake up and you remember every detail. And Susan somehow has this way of remembering every single detail that she has in her dreams. And she feels like she almost lived them, like a parallel, I want to say almost like a parallel universe. And I was thinking to myself as I was reading it, oh my God, it's not even just a parallel universe. It like cleaned up that chapter, you know, the million baby steps, the million baby steps that we have. She like turned that corner from the millionth baby step in that dream. It like took her the rest of the way. Never forget the million baby steps. When Christ said every change is a million baby steps, every change, it takes a long time to get there, but as you're getting towards the end, you start to feel this momentum, and the momentum picks up and things start happening faster, and you're just watching it like dominoes, boom, 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 and then all of a sudden it slows down again and you feel like you're starting over. That's when you've turned that corner. I remember saying for months once, oh, this is really weird. It's like all this stuff is happening. I feel like I'm going to turn a corner, like I'm going somewhere. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I need to be there. It's amazing how we are so in tune to the cycles of life that drive the human soul. Right now, in this period of time in our lives, we're getting the words for it. We're getting the words to use for it. It's amazing. And Liam said, no, it's okay, go to Leah. So I'll go to Leah, and then Liam and Marco will have you next week. So here's Princess Leah. Dear Nadia, this is about a dream I had, and I have split into three parts so that you can leave out the last ones if there isn't enough time. I have posted the main part on your account, so it's the same dream that was a short version, which I said still long. Approximately last week, I had a dream in which I called you, or maybe you have called me, and I confessed that I had done something to life, evil, and you were trying to tell me that I was where I was meant to be, but to me, I wasn't really. I was trying to believe you, and it was very hard. I believed if I had done things differently, that I would have not be here, and not like this, but would have gone on and better things and live life lighter. But you said it was only meant to give me more deeper understanding of life, really, as I know things that I didn't know before, even if I knew them about darker things in life. For example, what it is like to go through what feels like evil. I said, okay, and I tried to believe that, but I could only half believe it, and I wanted the relaxed feeling that I was fine, that I was now fine, but half of me worried that if I believed it, it would only give me an excuse too. So the things I was really meant to do, like those I would be doing if I was where I was meant to be. But I also didn't change enough to do it. I didn't see why we should need an understanding of such bad things like the ones I had gone through as done. I hope that makes sense. They happened to me because I had done them. It was a difficult thing to admit that in the first place, but I didn't know what to do about it, and I didn't know whom to turn to. And when waking up, I thought that this was a sign that I could really call you and tell you this, but as you can see, till now, I haven't, ha ha. Before the telephone conversation, there had been other things going on in the dream, but I don't remember them completely. I just remember that I'd gone on the bus to new places and the sights were cool, but I was sort of alone, and I think I had not meant to meet my husband, but only just met him when he said he had to leave, something like that. Or I also missed the bus. At a very least, what happened was just sad, disappointing. I don't remember what it was, but it was one of those dream segments that leave you feeling sad. Okay, so that's a separate dream. So here we have this dream about talking to me. And believe it or not, a lot of people write me with dreams like that. They either saw me in their dream and we had a conversation, or they called me in their dream. And it's always something about seeing me that made them, you know, it's the internal fight you have with yourself about what's good, what's bad, what you should do, what you shouldn't, who you should believe, who you shouldn't. You're always flip-flopping. But honestly, whatever I tell you, nobody has to believe. What I know is that the way things work with Christ, I know that people are hardwired for the truth. And because I internally know that, and because I behave that way with the people I speak to, I figure they can handle the truth because they're hardwired to it. It puts people, whatever arguments they have into their heads, to a challenge. Because now they want to see me or talk to me to see if what's going on in them is true or real. And I feel like one of those truth busters, you know, like I can't help it. And sometimes I just don't want to know certain things if I don't have the time to decipher the truth in it. Because once it's in my head, I can't let it go. It needs to be done. And when people write, and this is a good one, that confess that I've done something in life evil, whatever evil is, the word evil, I don't not like it. I just never found a place to use it. Because evil isn't what you've done, it's how you feel. Evil is a feeling. So even if you didn't do whatever it is that you think you want to do, that feeling, to use the word evil, if you were to take evil and flip it, it's live. So evil takes the life out of living. It wants to hurt. It's like the ego. It's like fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt. Stick evil in there too. But evil even has a different energy. Its energy is so low that it can't work without anybody really trying to make it work. Does that make sense? With love, everything works quickly, fast, it propels because it's the strongest energy. But just the word evil has no energy. So I'm telling you, it has like a negative energy. Let me take that back. Once you put your action to it. But the word itself, the energy of that, there is no exchange. It's like evil, and people are like, oh, brother, and they walk away. Why? Because it's something that we feel, we create an internal dichotomy like, oh, this is my evil self, and oh, this is my good self. There isn't an evil self and a good self. There's just yourself, just like there isn't a us and there isn't a them. And so when I tell you, well, things were meant to be that way, they were meant to be that way, not because in the big picture they had to happen that way for you to learn your lesson. They're meant to be that way because you made a free will decision, and everything you make a free will decision on is what you've decided to bring into your life. And that's why it was meant to be that way, because you decided for it to be that way. Something in you made you do it. So instead of looking, and this dream is telling you this loud and clear, for excuses to behavior, really seeing me brings you to self-accounting. So if you had a dream about me, it was because you need to self-account to yourself and you want to take responsibility for what you do, so you confess. But now it's time to, instead of confessing to me or to somebody else, confess to yourself that you made a choice to do that. This whole paragraph is about self-accounting, taking into account your own role in your own life. Saying you did something and then deciding whether or not you believe somebody is like step 10. Step 1 is what in you wanted to do that. Step 2 is why. Step 3 is how did you take it into action. Step 4 is what happened in that action. It all goes back to self-accounting. Self-accounting. If there was the first 2 or 3 things that Christ talked to me about, was first about love, 1 ounce of pure love will overcome any obstacle provided it is pure. So when your obstacles aren't happening and you're sitting in them because you can't get out of them, you have to ask yourself why you are making a decision to live in them, to sit in them, to be in them. Why are you making a decision to do that? There are darker things in life. There are lighter things in life. Depending on the energy we put behind the darker things or the lighter things or the perceptions we have. But none of that even phases me anymore. I don't even think of darker things and I don't even think of lighter things. I just think of things now. Because I made decisions within me a while ago, I guess just over time, just through experiences, that said, if I don't look at that way, then it doesn't exist that way. That's so true. If you look at the worst situation and say it's the best situation, it will turn around in energy. And once it turns around in energy, once that happens, you can deal with it differently. It's difficult to admit to yourself what you do, but in this dream it's saying you love admitting it, but you throw it out for public opinion instead of your own opinion. So this is telling you, hey, instead of worrying about what anybody else thinks, because it's almost like, I want to say, an attention grabber that distracts you from the attention to yourself. The choice isn't whether or not you believe someone else or not. It's really whether you believe you or not. Because sometimes people come and they tell me something that isn't true to see if I'll do it. And I look at them and I just say, you don't even sound connected to what you're telling me. Why is this what you want to talk about? So I get that little test thrown at me. It amuses me. I'm fine with it. But in life, you don't want to amuse yourself that way because you're just going to take yourself where you have to keep going back to the fork in the road and repaving your path with the love you need to go on. Because the love is what is our fuel. So this dream is just telling you, go back and take a look at yourself and why you are you and why you want to do the things you're doing and how you're doing them and be true to you so that you don't even have to be true to anybody else. In that way, you can just be free of that entire energy of that whole proving things and showing people and deal with yourself. And you realize then you can accept other people for who their selves is. It's all about self-acceptance, self-accounting. Knowing your soul doesn't need approval other than from you so that you can handle that. It's already time, you guys. I will see you on Friday. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nowwhat.com.